This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Moresh did sound like he knew what he was talking about, and confirming what Ray and Waterbury said, that the game was moved because Apple, now again, it was moved months ago when Apple had their schedule, not just recently, but the game that instead of being on a Sunday, it was moved to Friday because Apple wanted to take that Mets Astros game. So it really is combining both of our issues. You hate the streaming stuff. I hate the idea that you would not be playing a game on a Sunday. And because of the streaming stuff in Apple, a game that we should all be sitting down watching on a Sunday afternoon was moved to Friday night, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and of the two issues, I've got more of an issue with no baseball on Sunday because it's you're more inclined to put it on maybe in and out of the house.
100%.
If kids have games, church, lawn, whatever you're doing as families. And we're, you know, playing around the golf, whatever it is, but at least it's going to be there. And, you know, it's just part of the backdrop of an early spring weekend. And to not have baseball on Sunday is ridiculous.
It's actually criminal, especially opening weekend. But any weekend in the baseball season, you should not. And that's the whole point of why you love baseball. You have a companion that's there for you almost every single night, especially on the weekends during the year. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Pete is calling from Queens. What's up, Pete?
Pete.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Listen, I gotta take exception to your take on the Soto at bat yesterday. I mean, obviously Soto's a great hitter who's known for a keen eye for the ball and is very selective. To swing at two balls out of the strike zone instead of taking the walk, putting the tying run in scoring position, a little pressure on the pitcher with the bases loaded with a right-handed hitter like Alonso up, to me, it's just a bad at-bat.
It was not a bad at-bat. You don't know what you're talking about if you think it's a bad at-bat. He didn't get the job done. I don't think you could say it was a bad at-bat.
No, swinging at balls out of the strike zone.
Pete, you make it like he was swinging at a fastball that was 4 feet off the plate. He swung at a nasty slider, 3-2-2, lefty-lefty, one of the best relievers in the game.
What about the pitch before that? That was up high.
And he fouled it off. Okay.
Listen, I love Soto. He's a great hitter. I wish he was still on the Yankees. But Soto is a very selective hitter, and to use an overused, adage, is he didn't stay within himself and do what he does best.
Are you a Yankee? Are you a Yankee fan or a Mets fan?
I'm a Yankee fan.
Okay, and then I don't care about your opinion on this particular case. I'm sorry to say that. Because your opinion, I think, is skewed because you wish Soto was still a Yankee and you're going to judge him that way. Now, it could be fair, BT. We've had this conversation where you could think that Soto was getting away from himself. I don't think that was the case, and we went over many instances. Also, his job, in my opinion, is not to walk there. It is to give a good at-bat, and I want to see him do some damage. So me, as a Met fan, who actually has some rooting interest here, I was more than okay with Soto not getting the job done. I'd rather it be in his hands than Alonso. So I don't want him looking for a walk to get on base.
Juan Soto was going to go into the bat rack, reach for his helmet and his batting gloves, and I don't know, does he even wear a shin guard, whatever he wears up there, and grab his weapon of choice and stride up to home plate, if he's healthy this year, between 700 and 750 times for official and unofficial plate appearances, right? I get it's the first game of the year. I get it's his first truly big spot as a Met. But what are we doing? I mean, I can see if this is week one and it's a kicker that we yelled about all summer that, I don't know why you're running this guy back. And he clanks one from 33 at the gun and the Jets or the Giants lose. This is Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Who's going to get up over 750 times this year.
Do you?
And who just faced almost an unhittable, filthy, disgusting pitch.
From an almost unhittable lefty on lefty.
I don't understand the overreaction.
Okay, so that's my point. And obviously, like, I don't mean to be harsh on the call here, but you could tell that there was a Yankee bias in there. It is a fair question to say, as we have discussed, do you think Juan Soto went away from himself? What's the proper way to say that?
He got out of his routine.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Do you think? I do not think that's the case based on watching the at bat in its entirety and even seeing the expressions afterward. Mm. I think he just got beat.
Yep.
It's okay to sometimes get beat. It's going to happen to the best more often than not. This is not to me, and I'm just using an example, whether it's Pete Alonso struggles or I was going to use Judge in the postseason, where Judge in the postseason, for whatever reason, is different than Judge in the regular season.
He changes his approach.
Okay. That, to me, was not the case yesterday. I just think you tip your cap and say, I got beat by a nasty lefty, one of the best, who threw up. I didn't think he had the guts to throw that pitch in that spot. Soto clearly got beat. That's it. He got beat in a spot. I don't think he went too far from where he normally is in the batter's box.
I tend to agree with you, but I can see why, even though it might be a bit of a lazy reaction, why some people might subscribe to that. See, to me, when you get out of your process, right, that is letting, you know, even if it's 99, letting a fastball right down the chute go, not swing, bat stays on your shoulder, and then the next pitch, whether it's a lefty-righty, whether it's Judge or Soto or anybody, you know, it's a nasty wipeout slider that's a foot and a half off the black. And that's what you swing at, and suddenly it's 0-2.
Right.
So you let the cookie go by, you swing at the horrendous pitch, which already means you're all out of whack, you've expanded the zone, you're not identifying balls and strikes. That's getting away from the process. And I think it's a little easier, even if it's wrong, to look at Soto, who very rarely does stuff like, there's a lot of good hitters who could look bad. And sometimes Aaron Judge could look bad. Sometimes he misses balls by a mile. Sometimes, even though we hit 322. Soto really doesn't do that. But I think it's a little lazy and a little, I don't know, a little whatever to say that that's why he did it. That's not very interesting to me. What is interesting to me is if this continues. And I don't think that it will, but I am curious about the Judge dynamic. Not that Judge made him a star, and I know we have to debate about the numbers with Judge, without. Not even going back to that. I'm curious the level of confidence event as we're a month or two into the season that Soto has passing the baton to Pete like he did passing the baton to Aaron Judge. And if that's a little compromised, that's a deeper discussion. But until I have more evidence than one at bat, I'm not really jumping too deeply into it.
One game, one at bat. Okay, let's just break down the at bat further than we have before. Because I like something that you just said right there. This was not a case of where a guy's in the batter's box going nuts, swinging out of his shoes, expanding the zone right out of the gate. The first three pitches were balls, takes from Soto, and not outlandish pitches where they were as far as the strike zone goes.
Yep.
But to a point where Gary Cohen on the broadcast was saying he believed Hader was pitching around Soto. Then he had a strike looking, okay, so Soto being a little passive in that spot. Again, think about it. The first four pitches of this at-bat that some are insinuating Soto was trying to do too much, getting away from what he does best with the pressure.
He didn't swing the first four pitches.
First four pitches of the at-bat, three balls, one strike looking. Then the foul ball strike, which, okay, you want to say it's a little bit up. It was a pitch he thought he could do some damage with near the strike zone. He fouled it off, and then the nasty
slider. That was a fastball, right, that pitch? The foul, go ahead.
I don't know, BT. I was just looking that up. According to ESPN on the pitch by pitch, sinker, slider, sinker,
The third pitch was definitely a little lower.
First pitch sinker,
yep.
Second pitch slider, third pitch sinker, the fourth pitch strike-looking slider, the foul ball up high says sinker.
Hard sinker, though.
Okay,
which,
in 95.
Think about Clay Holmes, like, sinker's a fastball.
That was the hardest pitch that he threw, 95.
I have no problem taking a rip upstairs when it's straight.
I think this is fun. Let me just go over this real quick because there's only six pitches. First pitch, ball, sinker, 94 miles an hour. Second pitch, ball, slider, 84 miles an hour. Third pitch, sinker, ball, 94 miles an hour. Fourth pitch, strike-looking slider, 84 miles an hour. So sinker, slider.
And by the way, you're not swinging 3-0 with a slider unless he just completely misses one.
Okay, right. So strike-looking, fair enough.
Yeah.
Next pitch, foul ball, sinker, 95, near the zone but up, fouled it off. Then, so he went, Hader went sinker, slider, sinker, and then the sixth pitch, again, slider. Where maybe Soto was surprised, thinking that the sinker was his best stuff.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe thinking that he couldn't throw the slider because he threw, I guess he did throw the slider for a strike in the bat. You know, the second pitch was a ball. Third pitch was a strike in the zone. But then the slider that was nasty, obviously out of the strike zone, but at 3-2, he got him. I just think he got beat. But based off of that, how can you say that you think Soto was overly aggressive getting away from what he does when he took the first four pitches of six in the at-bat?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. What is the mile per hour here on the sinker that he fouled back and then the slider? What's the variation?
10 mile per hour difference. That's nasty, dude.
Okay, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
please.
So the pitch before, to your point,
95?
95 mile per hour sinker up in the zone, fouls it off.
Yep.
Strikes out swinging on the check swing, whatever, 85 mile per hour slider.
Oh, dude. All right, so not only is there a 10 mile per hour variation, which is even more than what you're looking for in terms of from a pitcher's perspective, but one had a vertical drop, which is the sinker, and the other has a left to right movement, which is completely that.
It's nasty.
Dude. You could take every person listening to this show, every single one of them, you can shake out every ball player in the history of their family tree, and you could put them in the left part of home plate in the batter's box. There is not a person, forget about getting a hit, that will touch that last slider that Soto missed on.
The only thing he could have done was spin on it.
Yeah.
And
but based on where the previous pitch was... So like you said, sometimes the other guy's pretty good.
And it wasn't like it was a ball out of his hand. It was a perfectly executed pitch,
yep.
Which is why I just choose to say that Soto got beat in that spot by a nasty reliever. Brian is in Asbury Park. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time caller, big fan. It's so much fun listening to you guys talk about this because I'm an analytics guy. And I just want to say as a Yankees fan, Juan Soto, I mean, my father was a Mets fan, God rest his soul, but Juan Soto was a viper at the plate, and I can't stand Yankee fans calling and just bashing him because, you want to know what, he's probably the greatest natural hitter since Ted Williams, in my opinion. And it's just a pleasure to watch him play. And like you guys just said, there's not a person I know or I've even heard of who would even touch that pitch. And that's all I got to say. Thanks so much for letting me call.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would have a very different attitude toward Juan Soto if Juan Soto left the door and was dissing the Yankees on the way out. He didn't.
Right, if anything, he's saying he's missing the Yankees on the way.
Yeah, right. I mean, he speaks very highly of the organization. The man wanted to change. You know, he's waited 3 years to get to this position to have the ability to decide where he plays, and he chose the other team in town, and I'm fine with it. I've got no axe to grind. I think he's a good guy. I know he loves baseball, you know, and I'm looking forward to watching him play because he is a showman, both in the theatrics of what he does in between pitches and the actual execution of what he does. But I do think it's childish for those who rail on Soto, but there's a lot of childish responses in the world of social media, in the world of sports radio. I just really choose not to engage because Juan Soto didn't do anything to me. He didn't like, I don't take it as a personal affront. I was a little surprised when he truly decided to. I'm like, wow, he actually left the Yankees. Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. I'm not butthurt as a 51-year-old man. Juan Soto, all right, that's good. You left. But some of the trolling and some of the venom, that's just not me. Right. I don't get it. I just don't operate that way. I think it's petty.
Which I respect because those people that do that, I think it's unbecoming. Especially from a Yankee fan who should be holding themselves in a higher standard. To text the little old Met fan, ha-ha, strikeout, Soto, end the game, that to me...
One of them's your relatives, though.
Well, of course, Uncle John, forget about it. I mean, with him, he's texting me all day. I'm actually going to block his number pretty soon. He's texting me all day, I told you, bro, Holmes ain't going to be it, bro. And then so the whole day.
Well, did he go yesterday?
No, he was actually looking... Well, he was asking for tickets. I was like, I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Oh, Uncle John. Right, you did hook him up last week.
Yeah,
last
year, because you know, last year we did the show from the Hard Rock, a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And can't bring Uncle John up in the suite.
That's true.
PT and Sal.
We just bring Aaron Boone up to the suite.
There you go. A little, nice little trail. I say, we'll get plenty of games, not opening day. BT and Sal, all the fan, 888-808-1019.
We were there yesterday. I gave Andy Pettit some advice on throwing out the first pitch.
Yes, you did,
Much to the dismay of many, but it was a nice borderline strike, a little zip on it. It looked pretty good from the suite that you and I were in, and a bunch of others as well. Great day at the stadium. Did you see Ichiro throw out the first pitch for Seattle?
I did not.
Okay.
How'd he do?
Well, I'm gonna ask you to guess. He didn't exactly hold back. He is 51 years of age.
Great arm.
He always had a rocket. I remember when he was playing, I remember reading a story on him, I forget where it was, that the only day that he actually took off from stretching or doing any sort of baseball activity was Christmas Day as a player.
The whole year?
The whole year. So, and his stretching was like for an hour and a half. I mean, very limber. I mean, very loose. You know, that's why his arm was a cannon, could run, etc. All right, so he retired. He's 51 now. His last game was in 2019. What do you think he hit the gun? They actually had the radar gun on him yesterday. He was in full uniform, by the way.
And where did he throw it from?
The slab, like Pettit. Didn't go to the slope, went to the rubber.
How old is Pettit, by the way? Did we get that?
I don't know, but let's see. Came up in the early 90s. Andy's got to be about 54.
And Pettit was telling us a story where he was getting 50 miles an hour or something like that at one of those
Oh, it was one of the carnivals. He didn't necessarily think it was right. Yeah. But no, Andy throws BP, so he's still throwing.
I would say 75. Ichiro clocked in...
He's 51. He hasn't played a game in 6 years.
I know, but still, he's got a cannon.
I know.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
Oh, I would guess low 80s.
84.
I mean, that's... he might be able to come out of a pen for somebody.
84 miles per hour, which leads me to this question. All right, now 70. I think some people around there, but, oh, yeah, I could throw 70. You can't. I'm going to lower it down to 65.
Okay.
I might even be willing to go to 60 because it's a lot harder than from the mound.
That's the question.
Name from 60 or from 60 to 60 miles per hour. Name the WFAN employees that are on air that you think would exceed 60 miles per hour in an opening ceremonial first pitch.
Okay. Here's a caveat. Like one guy that comes to mind would be Tiki. But,
no way.
No. Well, I think he could throw it that hard.
No way.
It would not be accurate.
He cannot throw it 60. No. No, he can run it. I mean, he ain't throwing 60. Nope. Disagree. Not Tiki. I'm not giving you Tiki. I'm not even giving you Boomer, who can throw as well as anybody.
I would bet Boomer would be able to hit 60 as well. I don't think 60...
You know what? At this stage, maybe I was a little quick on denouncing Boomer's prowess.
I think Tiki 60? Could do it, but
no
I just, I worry about the accuracy, so that's what I'm saying. Like the
But Tiki didn't play baseball.
Right, but still...
No! Why do you think Tiki could do it?
Well, I'm just saying the parameters of, I guess in my mind, I'm still thinking of like Adventureland speed thing, right? Take the ball, throw it against the wall. In that setting, I feel like Tiki can max up. You see what I'm saying? Where you're not really pitching.
Yeah, when you're 7 feet away from the rubber mat, you're shattering your labrum.
Well, that's why I'm asking, like, okay,
if
so
it's even accurate?
From the mound,
from the mound.
You're going to have it be accurate to register.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
I got to put the X next to Teague. No chance. Boomer, you know what? I'm giving Boomer. Who else?
Yeah, I would bet Boomer. I mean, where are you at? I do not think Gio.
Okay, I agree.
Could Jerry get there?
He might. I know Jerry's had some issues with his back.
Yeah.
But he's also thrown a lot of BP. I would give him a puncher's chance. I'm going to give him a chance there. Jerry.
I honestly don't know because I feel like I would be able to do it, but I'm not so sure.
I think CeeLo could do it.
Right.
I'm taking some throws with him playing short. CeeLo's got a good arm.
I would hope at this point, even with your injuries and the gout, I mean, you get the gout in the left hand.
I'll definitely say I'm not worried about me. I'm thinking about the other people. Yeah, I'll definitely do it.
Oh, you're thinking about the NARPs.
Well, no, I didn't even mean, I don't really.
Boomer, Tiki,
Boomer
BT,
can,
and then the rest
no,
of us.
No, I'm not in that category. There's no way. There's real athletes, and then there's guys like me. Yeah. I even put right. Keith in the category of a real athlete, not a real baseball player, but a real athlete, more
well,
so
I
like Boomer Tiki than me.
What about his?
No, I don't think I would have put him at 60.
Right.
No. But then again, he did throw a football. I'm saying Tiki, no. Boomer, yes. CeeLo, yes. Jerry, maybe. Keith, no. You, no. Hoff, no.
You're saying no definitively.
I'm saying no to you. I wish
wait,
I could say
I
yes.
I can't hit 60? 60 feet?
What do you mean?
What's the question? Topic? I can't
60
hit
60 miles an hour.
Oh, I could do that.
Can you throw 60 miles an hour from the mound?
And it's a lot tougher than you think. I'm going to say no if you would like
now
to.
How much time do I have to get? I mean, I can't just.
You know, I know. That's the thing. I mean, there's variables here. If you had a 2-week throwing regimen or 3 weeks, you loosen up. I mean, maybe you might get a. At that point, that I know Jerry would do it. Because I think his son's getting older. I don't know
right,
if Jerry's still
you,
throwing
where,
BP.
Where do you think I would come in at?
I think you would beat Gio.
No. Forget about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I mean, mile per hour. Just so. Because I
think you'd be fairly close. I think you'd be knocking on the door.
Okay, so we're in the ballpark there. Also, what do you think the average, McMonagle, whoever's?
Oh, I forgot about C-Mac. Yeah. He played too. I think Chris could probably do it.
Yeah, if Chris could do it, then I could do it.
Chris was a good baseball player, dude.
So was I.
He didn't even make varsity.
Come on. No, I left a team. Did he make varsity?
I think he was like the athlete of the year.
Yeah,
I told
you.
He had the plaque.
I think he took it back. Yeah.
In varsity? I told you I was a starting shortstop on the ninth grade team.
Ninth grade.
Okay. But that's isn't that freshman
before
year?
Puberty, man. I mean,
you would think even better now.
Well, no, not when you haven't thrown in 20 years.
Okay,
why
but
better?
That's what I'm asking you. So nobody around here has Boomer thrown in 20 years?
Yeah, let me say, do you think that just because you wait a long time that you're better at something?
Oh, no, I think I'm physically.
You might be physically stronger,
yes.
But that's a specialized motion.
Yeah, but throwing. Yeah, okay, but I know
the
motion.
Most times you throw a ball.
I remember how to throw a ball.
I understand that.
I mean, a softball recently, however long
we
ago
we played
that
together.
Was.
Yeah. And I told you I was impressed with your glove.
I'm not frequenting having catches anymore.
I'm not calling you out. I think there's a reason why you probably wouldn't hit 60.
But right, so, but you said others would.
Jerry has been in the coaching.
Okay.
He's been throwing
and
for
you said
a long time.
It's a maybe.
Tiki ain't doing it.
Well, you said McMonagle.
Gio's not doing it.
Yeah.
McPherson's not doing it.
You said I wouldn't bet against Keith either.
I wouldn't bet against him either because he can throw a football and he's a real athlete. I think C-Mac could do it. C-Mac was a baseball player.
Now, I guess my question was why I was saying where you think I'm at is because how daunting of a test. Like, if you said 70, obviously no.
Yeah, 70's tough.
Okay, so, and 60 might be tough as well for us, but I feel like it's not unattainable.
It's not unattainable.
So, all right, so then what do you think, if I went to the mound in 2 weeks.
56.
Okay, so I think I could pick up 4 miles per hour.
I think eventually. I think you can. We'll get you some of those PEDs. We'll get you hopped up. I do think that it's one of those things like, okay, I've heard this a lot from golfers. Oh, I hit that one 300. No, you didn't, dude.
Yeah.
It went 255,
right.
260. Like, there is an over. Now, some people could pipe at three bills, but a lot of people, oh, 300. No. Just because the scores card says this, where the tee box is in relation to the actual. No. I think people tend to overstate what they can do. Same with the bench press.
Yeah.
Same with the 40-yard dash. I think just baseball is not, if you have not thrown a ball consistently,
yeah,
right, you're not getting on a mound in front of 20, 30, 40,000 people and throwing a strike that's over 60 miles per hour, guaranteed.
Understood. But if I start to throw a ball regularly.
I think that you of the others would have a much better chance to get there.
I mean,
I'm saying today. Now, you want to spin it a little bit down the road? I'll give you a chance. I think it worked.
How hard do you think you would throw?
And I mean, not as hard as I want.
Yeah.
And I remember saying this because I remember when I threw out the first pitch for the A's, and I did it for the Ducks, too, but the Ducks didn't have the radar. And all week, I'm talking smack. Of course, I was hanging around. Oh, I'm going to hit 80-something. I was just messing around.
Yeah.
And I remember throwing it. Now, I was also at the height right before I had back surgery, and I was not throwing. It was before my kids were born. And I remember like throwing like 68. And I'm like, ugh, that was atrocious, man. But, I mean, I throw regularly. There's no doubt I'd get it up to 70 at some point. I mean, probably low 70. There's no question in my mind.
Ichiro's.
But I'm not talking about me.
Yeah. Oh, no, you are.
No, I'm just, but this is not about me. This is about Ichiro. And then by extension, everybody else at the station. But because I am part of the station, I'm going to give you a sense of where I am. And I think that that's where I am.
We should have what about Marash? Loogie.
Marash, no way. And Loogie, no way. Both under 60. Evan, no chance. Dude, I think the entire afternoon drive team is 0-for-4.
I would take at least one there,
no
maybe
way.
Two.
Matter of fact, if you take two of those guys and you combine their numbers, I'm not sure you're getting more than 60. You take Evan's meatball fastball and Loogie, whatever he's throwing, you might hit 53
combined.
That's
kind of why I'm saying that I don't think it's who plays regularly, although I know that that helps. Evan has played his,
Twitter baseball.
Yeah, there you go. Right, when he's had that
Poopy pants, when he runs to first base, we've seen.
I think I would surprise you. I think I could hit 60. I also think I could get a hit off of Jerry Blevins.
Yeah, you did say that.
And I also think I might be able to get Booney out if the challenge were there.
Now, here's the good thing.
Pitching to Booney, I think I'd take him out.
Okay. I can't get you.
What do you mean, okay?
Will you strike out Boone now?
I didn't say strike out.
He swings a bat every day.
I said get out. Get
well,
out.
You don't I mean, who's get fielding? Out? Us or Volpe and Goldschmidt? I mean, again, there's variables here, buddy.
I don't believe in myself. One thing I didn't have as a kid was confidence. I have the confidence now.
I know, but
maybe blind or
I was
going to
say it can't be like it's got to be authentic confidence. Confidence is a great thing. You know, overstating what we could do is probably not. I think you thinking that you could get a hit off Blevins is flat out delusional. I think that you thinking that you could get Boone out is not delusional because you could hit a rocket at somebody and we could catch it.
BT and Sal of the Fed, 888-808-8019. Taco Frank calling from Hamilton, New Jersey. He was one of the culprits yesterday, texting in a group chat, busting chops from a Yankee fan perspective. Taco, what do you have to say for yourself?
Bro, I'm so happy baseball's back. And you guys are absolute must-listen from a baseball fan point of view. But, man, BT, you got to be with me on this, man. I slept like a baby. I woke up early, watched the sunrise, which I haven't done in a while.
Yeah.
What a perfect opening day, bro.
Bad.
And Sal, as Yankee fans, of course, man, we're going to have our fun. You had freaking off-season ceremonies in studio, bro, with Cohen, and you playing your music and wearing the robe.
Forgot about that.
And you don't
that
want
is...
us to say, and all the money you guys spend and you send out heart attack homes on opening day, man. I mean, you got to learn, buddy. One thing you got to remember, and BT, remind him of this constantly, heavy is the crown. Heavy is the crown.
Don't drop it.
You
want to
be the king of New York, you better, Soto better come up when it's big.
Yeah, I think you will, Taco, and thank you for the call. Put it this way, I'm comfortable in the seat that I am in. Now, they're going to have to go out there and do it. That's the hardest part. But I'll take my chances with Juan Soto, a.k.a. the hugest sack in the sport.
I
mean, what do you want me to tell you? That's why I love him. It's why I loved Harvey. It's why I love Piazza.
Yeah.
And there's nobody quite like Soto.
Yeah. Now, listen, I don't want to be graphic, so I won't, but there's a little draggage, if you know what I mean, when it comes to him
When he...
A little draggage.
Even when he got beat, it was still on full display. We're just
He's like, I'll get you next time.
Did this just happen? This guy should beat me? All right.
Yeah.
I'll
get you next time. Now, by the way, just to circle back to...
I love him so much. Yeah.
I love that so much. He goes, all right, so... The thing about Blevins and you hitting Blevins or you getting Booney out, I'm not saying that those things couldn't happen, but I can absolutely get a radar. I can absolutely supply a catcher, and we can absolutely do this on YouTube.
Okay.
We can do this. Would you like
to? Yeah, I don't have a problem doing it. This is your thing, but meaning you brought the challenge up.
Not even a challenge. Yeah. It's not a challenge. It's just me and now.
I want everybody
if I'm wrong,
involved,
I will say my bad.
Or as many people, Mirage, Loogie, Evan, Keith. C-Mac.
I agree.
You don't want to partake in that, but...
There's a turf field not far from where our station is. There's ways to do this.
You probably just do it in the newsroom. Nobody's sitting in there anyway.
Can't do it in the newsroom, man. But you got to get a catcher. You got to get somebody with some gear.
Put Hurley in the catcher's gear.
Yeah. I don't think he's hitting 60. I just think it's a lot tougher.
Oh, he'd be the catcher, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. He could catch,
Right?
He could catch. He looks like a catcher. Yeah. Big, strong guy.
I'm saying, you put the gear on him. What? So somebody, you want Dove to catch?
No.
What do you think Dove tops out at?
Right now, Dove's in the 30s.
What do you got,
unfortunately.
Huff?
All right, I did remember this happened. It was with Craig and Evan.
Okay.
And the crew went out there trying to figure out the spin rate on Sticky with Spider Tag.
I remember this.
So they actually tested out the velocity, too.
And?
CeeLo was in the low 60s.
Okay.
There you go.
C-Mac,
one for one.
C-Mac, I believe, he was really the best not the best because he didn't pass CeeLo, but he was about low 60s.
Okay. Two for two.
Evan was in the mid 50s.
Three for three.
Lugauer was, I believe, one of the worst.
Four for four.
Yeah. And Marash?
Marash wasn't on that.
Oh, okay.
But Tiki did say that last time he threw a baseball. Like 10 years ago, he did hit over 60.
Yeah, I would bet on... we could also have a bet betting on ourselves or others? Who does it? Who doesn't?
I think I remember when Teak, I think we were working together. They flew him up somewhere, maybe Rhode Island, somewhere
he
up
told
there.
Me the name.
First
I already
pitch.
Forgot it. Yeah,
it was
yeah,
minor exactly. League. Yeah, yeah, I remember yeah. that. They had him on a chopper. He actually came
plus,
on the field.
Plus,
it's a long time ago, though.
I mean, think about this. Tiki Barber, maybe one day will be a Hall of Fame talent, but in a lot of people's mind, a Hall of Fame talent. I know it's for football.
Yeah.
But when you are that good
not
of an athlete.
Not baseball. Baseball's
I've
different.
Seen him play softball. He was still an animal there.
You saw him make a sick catch. Which
yes.
Is, that's athleticism.
Okay.
That's not throw the ball. Now,
still.
I will say this. I will say this. I of all the people, I think I'm 5 for 5. Tiki's the one variable. And then, of course, I got to get you and Hoff yeah. and some other guys that, you know, Gio, whatever. But he has thrown halfback options. And when you could throw a football 40, 50 yards, or at least 40 yards on a fly.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
And there's room.
And he can do that,
I may have been a little quick.
Yeah,
to.
Okay.
He's the one that I might have. Might.
It was the first guy that came
might,
to my mind.
Might reconsider. No, the first guy that comes to my mind are the baseball players here. C-Mac and C-Lo.
Well,
I think Boomer still. Boomer's a great baseball player, too.
This is where I take issue with you.
What?
How are you putting C-Mac and C-Lo in a different category than me?
Well, okay, I've seen...
Baseball players growing up.
Yes.
Okay, they were not... Like, C-Mac did not go to college to play baseball.
No, I get that, but C-Mac
was... C-Lo might have. I don't know if he did or not.
Listen, I've seen Chris at short... Chris,
he's good. He's
Chris
good.
Is pretty yeah. solid.
Agreed.
So, I look at his hands, I look at the way he just moves,
okay.
and I caught him at first base. He had some zip. He also had one in the dirt that had a pick and save him, which I did. But he's got a rocket. C-Lo's got a good arm. And C-Mac... You know, was, I think, a really, really good high school baseball player who you know, didn't just stop playing after freshman year. He went all the way through.
BT and Sal on the fan. I put it this way. I for sure would take them both down. BT and Sal on the fan. Come back. Continue the conversation. More of your calls. Juan Soto, the Yanks, whatever it is you want to discuss on this Friday, 888-808-1019.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. You mentioned you could be giving the takes on. Can you do that with your gout hand there?
That's the other hand I do it with.
Oh, all right, so you're going to be okay? Coach?
Yeah,
coach,
I ain't playing, man.
Coach BT, what do the kids call you?
Coach B, usually Coach B.
Okay, Coach B. B, you'd be all right with the left-handed gout?
I was all right in the box, man. I ain't playing anymore.
Just in case you have any issues, Roy is in Middletown and maybe help you out with that. Roy?
With your gout, I'm a gym rat, okay?
Okay.
And I couldn't believe when I first had my attack 4 or 5 years ago, make this quick, and it hit me in my toe joint and then in the base of my thumb.
Yeah.
I thought that I'd break my hand.
Yeah.
You're thinking, right?
Yes.
So real quick, I'll give you some advice, but do you remember what you might have had to eat?
I had the sushi that Sal had.
Fish, okay?
Sushi, yeah. Yep. Yep, but, okay. but not all shellfish.
No, you're right. You're right. But
mercury.
With me, yes, it's purines that are in that fish that'll make that attack happen. Yeah. But I'll tell you what I did over the last year, and I haven't had any attacks.
What?
I went to the tart cherry supplement at the health food store.
In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. BT came down with a little gout yesterday at opening day at Yankee Stadium.
Still not confirmed, though. Still waiting on the blood test. But
still waiting. Okay, so we'll get the results in. Don't want to jump the gun. We'll see what happens next week. We've had some fun today discussing Juan Soto and the Yanks from yesterday as well. Obviously, Juan Soto for the Mets, and then the Yankees winning their game out at opening day at the stadium. Lou is in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Lou.
How you guys doing? Thank you for taking the call.
All right, buddy.
Louie.
Listen, quickly, before I go to that bat by Soto, that caller that said that Ted Williams is only the best hit before Soto is ridiculous, because I can mention two Yankees and Joe DiMaggio and Lou Gehrig and Ichiro that you guys just mentioned. So he's out of his mind. Anyway, on the bat by Soto, so I'll be ready, because you know it's going to be a lot of that. If you remember last year, the same situation, he hit a bomb against this guy when he came to relief, okay? And the difference is because it's Alonso is on deck, not Judge. And that's going to make the pitcher be more careful and don't throw a strike down the middle. That's going to make a big difference. That's part of the game, and that's big-time baseball. You take care, and thank you for taking the
Thanks,
call.
Lou.
Thank you, Lou. I mean, look, that's fair from a pitcher's perspective, but that's on Soto to adjust and figure out, which I think he will. And I don't think that was the case yesterday. If you guys are bringing up the point, would a pitcher rather face Pete Alonso or Aaron Judge, we all know the answer. It's there's no point to bringing it up. But also, there was benefits that Aaron Judge had with Juan Soto being on in front of him. So Juan Soto is the factor here, not who's behind him. This is about Juan Soto. And if pitchers are going to pitch around him, like Gary Cohen said, and we all thought maybe that was going to be the case, they're going to pitch around Soto with the first three pitches being out of the strike zone from Hader, then it was going to be on Alonso. We didn't get to see that because Hader then started to throw some strikes, and he got Soto out. But Soto's going to learn real quick how pitchers are going to attack him if it means who's behind him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's part of the story, and it's going to be part of the story all year, and he's going to have to show a little more discipline and straddle that line of, you know, try to be the man, not for the self-glory, but to elevate the team, but also not getting away from his process, which makes him such a dangerous hitter. I really still am bothered by the fact that that there's no baseball on Sunday, there's no baseball for the Mets, there's no baseball today for the Yankees, and I really, you know, back in the day, and I know it's different with Interleague, but it's just even having the Yankees open up with Milwaukee and the Mets open up with Houston, like, can you make it any less juicy?
Yeah, it's non-exciting.
I understand the NFL, you don't necessarily want to open up with a divisional matchup because there's only so many of them. You'll get some, for sure, but you're limited based on the number. Come on.
Why not get into a season with, maybe you don't go Yanks, Red Sox right out of the gate, but Yanks, Blue Jays?
I was going to say Yankees, Toronto, yeah. go Tigers, White Sox,
yeah, whatever.
Whatever it might be. I don't get it. I really don't. Go Phillies, Dodgers, go Braves, Padres.
I hate the interleague.
I don't like it. It's boring.
I hate interleague to begin with, but that is even if it's Mets, Reds, I'd rather that.
Yes.
Because there's some history, whatever. National League, I like staying in the league, especially if it's on opening day.
Yeah, now you don't like interleague. When interleague was born, you didn't like it. That was in 97.
I don't like interleague all the time. I didn't hate it then. I remember being excited not only for the Subway Series, but also when the Red Sox came to town. The idea that the Mets would be playing these American League teams, the initial season in 97, I did find more intrigue. But remember how it was. It was just they were special series back then.
They were good. They were fun. They were different.
But it was made, it was different. It was special. It was different from the norm. Hey, the Mets are going to play three games in Baltimore or take on the Rays.
Or Fenway.
Whatever. This is what I was saying before. The Yankee series, obviously, that goes without saying. But the Red Sox series, it was a big deal. I remember wanting to go to those games and experience that. But it was cool because each year they would change and go from the American League East to then, you're saying from a Mets perspective, then the American League Central or West.
Yeah.
That was different. I'm okay with that. I hate interleague that we have it every day.
Yeah, me too. And I remember I was just trying to get some clarity here. I remember it was 97, obviously the first year of interleague, and I was interning at WFAN, and I used to drive the fan van around. I used to do that, give out like free tickets and do all that stuff for the Jets and the Giants at the old Meadowlands, whatever. And I remember I got offered tickets. And I went, remember, I guess the names don't even matter, but some of the people at the fan, and we were the group of about 12 or 13 of us, and it was the Mets and the Red Sox, Mo Vaughn, and was it the Red Sox that was the Mets' first interleague opponent?
Yeah.
It was, right? So that was June of 97?
June 13th, 1997.
Wow. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Like, I was so intrigued. And they weren't even amazing seats, but I'm like, oh, yeah, first interleague game. Of course I want to go see this.
Yeah, I think I was probably there for that one as well. The one that we remember from 97, of course, is Dave Malicki.